Hello everybody, welcome back for another video. Hope you're all doing well and that you're all having a great day to start things off. Huobi Group plans to launch the company's first cryptocurrency exchange, which will be dedicated to EOS. This will happen in the first quarter of 2019, according to a press release sent to Cointelegraph on the 29th of December. The exchange will reportedly be launched by Huobi Pool, the group's cryptocurrency mining arm. Chao Fei, who is the CEO of Huobi Pool, described the launch of the EOS exchange as the next logical step in our support as an EOS block producer, or a BP. The release states that the exchange will allow clients to trade the altcoin EOS against several other cryptocurrencies, as of which yet have not been named. Huobi is currently the third ranked crypto exchange based on volume on CoinMarketCap, with around $774 million in 24-hour volume at press time. So what's important here is that, and you'll even notice in this video, times they are changing. People are drawing very clear lines as to what they support, who they support, and how they are going to support it. I think it's great that we have situations like this, but I'm pretty sure you see that there's like a digital cloud forming over our heads. We've had 2018, even though prices went down, obviously, we saw that there was definitely like a my coin is better than your coin kind of sentiment. And we saw this happening for the multiple exchanges who were listing XRP as a base pair, the other crypto exchanges who were listing like Bitcoin exclusively, or they weren't adding other trading pairs as opposed to just having Bitcoin and maybe Ethereum and Litecoin. We spoke before about how how like immense the funding behind EOS is, especially if Huobi is a block producer. They also have an economic incentive. Don't think that they don't. But we haven't seen anything like this for Tron yet. I can only imagine that there's some company behind the scenes who's trying to figure out if they can make a dedicated Tron exchange. We haven't seen something like this for IOTA, and there are a couple other coins that probably won't end up getting theirs. EOS is one of the coins that I told you guys before. I think not even just in 2019, but I think in general is going to be probably one of the top coins for a very long amount of time. They have too much funding behind them not to actually make it. And I mean, when you create an entire cryptocurrency exchange dedicated to EOS, that's going to be kind of crazy. Once again, also tying into all of this, as of right now, we still have this first 3 month period that everyone is kind of looking forward to. This is supposed to happen in quarter one of 2019. That is the first 3 months of this year. Obviously no exact date as to when this is going to happen or which coins are going to be exactly linked to EOS. But when this does happen, especially if they are smart enough with their advertising, the amount of volume that's going to fly through EOS is going to be absolutely insane. Like, think, this is why the other exchanges listing XRP as a base pair was also very significant, because when the market does go back up, if you've noticed before, or rather if you were here before, when Bitcoin was kind of the only base pair, the amount of volume that was flying through Bitcoin on every single exchange was just absolutely insane. So when we have that now taking part in other altcoins, I'm expecting very big things, because typically large amounts of volume are typically a precursor to the upswing in price of a cryptocurrency. That's not to say that it is mandatory or that it has to happen, but it typically does take place. I find this very exciting. I don't assume that we're going to have many other altcoins that are going to have this kind of luxury, as in being the base pair for many different exchanges. And I don't know. I think EOS would have to have a very good year to be the base pair on multiple other cryptocurrency exchanges. I could also see Binance eventually doing it, but I think EOS would have to kind of like hit like new heights and probably sustain itself within the top five throughout the course of 2019. And as far as which coins are going to be linked to it, one can only assume it'll be Bitcoin, Ethereum. I will assume probably XRP, depending on how crypto-centric they are, if you kind of get what I'm saying. There's like a line that's been drawn between mined and pre-mined coins, and EOS, for some reason, when people talk about EOS now, I've noticed that like it sits in the camp of unpre-mined coin. Anyway, the point is, I expect this to be big. But crypto politics are becoming very, very obvious at this point. But anyway, let's move on. Next up, India is once again in the news. The Reserve Bank of India, or the RBI, is pausing its plans to release a digital currency. This was said by Indian business news outlet The Hindu Business Line. They reported this on the 1st of this month. India's central bank had originally announced its intentions to consider a central bank digital currency in April of this year, at the time noting the establishment of an interdepartmental group to look into potential advantages and feasibility. In August, the RBI confirmed the creation of the group, specifying that it was researching a central bank digital currency that would be backed by the rupee for reasons including the cost of printing paper and the rising popularity of digital tokens. Now, amid even more confusion over the group's exact findings, which remain a mystery, Delhi has apparently had a change of heart. They said, and I do quote, "The government doesn't want the digital currency anymore. It thinks it's too early to even think about a digital currency," end quote. The hesitancy echoes that which the government displayed last week on the topic of cryptocurrency regulation. Non-central bank digital currency assets such as Bitcoin will remain in a gray area for the foreseeable future, one state minister told Parliament, saying the issue was being approached with due caution. Expectations have been that India would put some form of regulation framework in place in 2018 amid anger over RBI's ongoing ban on crypto transaction processing by banks. To give you a bit of a, without reading any further, and to give a summary for those who have no idea what's going on, throughout the end of 2017, that's with a seven, we had news from all around the world that we were going to get regulations on cryptocurrencies, and India was one of the main places simply because they were one of the countries that kind of whispered that they were thinking about banning cryptocurrencies. It was them and South Korea, which was kind of weird because a couple of weeks later, people in the government of South Korea were like, you can't ban cryptocurrencies here. In India, we didn't get that kind of laxed behavior. It took us until around August when the Indian government kind of announced, or someone in the whatever in the government announced, they were like, yeah, crypto's not banned here. It's just that you can't transact in it. You can't have a cryptocurrency exchange. Multiple cryptocurrency exchanges disappeared within India. And it's kind of a shame because they were very they were large. And they were huge producers of volume for different cryptocurrencies. So, also probably a reason why prices fell. Not even that they left the market. It's more that the volume that we should have had or should have right now in cryptocurrencies has been pushed down by governments simply because they're talking about that they'll eventually give regulations, but they don't. India is one of those countries. They took the entirety of 2018 to say four times that they were going to give regulations. They obviously didn't do it once because it's now 2019. On top of this as well, this goes back to what we were talking about in a previous video, and I think it's very once I mean I wish we just had all the answers, because it's everything is lining up too weird. Like it's just too many coincidences now. Remember the video, it had to be about a week ago, maybe even a couple days ago at this point, sorry, I'll try and talk slower, apologies, where we were talking about how this is like the third government right now who has come forward and said that they're not going to launch their own central bank digital currency. And then also in the same exact thing we were talking about, there seems to be a huge uptick in the amount of countries who are allowing stable coins to be denominated, noted in their own local currency, which is kind of weird because you would think in a situation where crypto has been banned in your country, or you're not allowing it, or regulators have been having a hard time with figuring out exactly which box that it fits in, that they would have also completely banned stablecoins. And I still believe in a certain way, if you are trying to, first of all, if you've been on this planet before and you live in a country, which I assume everyone does, if you try to create or have tried to create before, because this has also happened before in like the late 90s, like 99, I think 2005, there was also something like this. And PayPal, yes, PayPal, also got stopped in their tracks when they were trying to do something like this as well. And that was create a digital variation of the local currency. When America found out about this before with PayPal, they completely shut them down. Every single, like the other one was called eCash, I think it was. That was also completely stamped into the dust. So what we have now is that so many stable coins are being denominated in local currencies. There's like, I think 30 that are matched up with the US dollar, and none of them have been stopped in their tracks. I still think that something is going on behind the scenes. I don't know if it's going to be like a huge crypto revolution, but I think I wouldn't be shocked if sometime during the next 4 months, we end up hearing that at least one or two stable coins end up coming out that are linked to the Indian rupee. Nothing would surprise me at all, because that would mean, in my view, that they're probably in cahoots and or working with the Central Bank of India as like a, because you have to understand that these entities don't want cryptocurrencies, but they realize that their citizens want cryptocurrencies or are dabbling in them. Don't think that they're only having one meeting per week and they're like, well, this was fun, and they kind of go on about their business. There are people looking behind the scenes to see exactly in the country who is trying to use software or something to be able to buy cryptocurrencies in other countries. If they have any crypto ATMs or banking ATMs, all that information is probably going back to the bank, and they see that there's a huge uptick in the amount of people in their country who want to desperately use these things. So I think like the soft landing is for governments to try and allow stable coins, which are somewhat pegged to their currency. Not getting into the stablecoin argument, I have heard enough about it as far as like that they should or should not be. But India has been very difficult this in not even this entire year. I'm pretty sure they will be this entire year. I still believe that they know exactly what they want to do with cryptocurrencies, but they're probably once again not going to give any information until the US has done so, which as of right now is looking like is going to take a very long time. And I mean, once again, this also ties into the other argument that I had from the other side of the cryptocurrency space, in that postponements, if you will, like this are actually very good for crypto overall, because the longer that it takes for governments to actually initiate, activate, release their own digital currencies, the more our cryptocurrency sector strengthens. They're like, every single day that goes by, we get more people who get into the cryptocurrency space, and the more than normal people realize the benefits of decentralized cryptocurrencies and things that they can use on their own that aren't controlled by their governments, by the time, in theory, that governments end up finally creating their own currencies in the next 2 to 3 years, our crypto base space should have strengthened. And one of the core fundamentals or thoughts right now for this is that if we do have a bull run in 2019, we're going to experience another nosedive event where everyone is trying to jump into crypto as much as possible. And typically what we've seen before, even people who have cashed out, and this is very weird, even people who have cashed out of the cryptocurrency market in 2018 as the prices were falling, a large portion of these people are still paying attention to the market, meaning they either still own fragments of some coins and they're, you know, paying attention to how much money is going up or down, or they're looking at the markets to see exactly when it's low enough for them to get back into it. So the more time that passes by, the stronger cryptocurrencies become, the more people get into it. And if we can have like a nice spike up in price, even like a high five-figure Bitcoin, we could potentially 5 to 10x the amount of people who were in it in 2017, which would then lead us to another situation where when governments do finally, because it's going to happen, release their own digital currencies, people will be more accustomed to not having to worry about a government-owned coin as opposed to being able to control their own money. Didn't mean to spend that much time talking about India, but it's a very fascinating topic. This is what I was saying before in another video. I've been waiting like 6 years for these events to happen. We were these events were foretold, if you will, and it's a weird way of saying it, by like other crypto experts years ago, who said that the governments would eventually, is it snowing outside? No, it's not snowing. That governments would eventually create their own digital currencies, that we would have all these events, and now they're all happening. So the fact that governments are postponing these things are, they could only potentially be beneficial. I think it's snowing. Only be beneficial for us. All right, let's move on. So, Vitalik Buterin is a very outspoken member of the cryptocurrency space. Ethereum has had a lot of flack very recently because of what it can and cannot do. So there's somebody by the name of Tuur, T-U-U-R, Demeester, who is a Bitcoin maximalist and founder of Adamant Capital Fund. Apparently, he's been attacking the Ethereum project. And Vitalik Buterin has taken a stance and kind of struck back. Says Vitalik Buterin is on a spree with explanations on social media. Buterin defended the development in Ethereum, making a point-by-point rebuttal of the claims of Tor Demeester, founder of that fund and generally a Bitcoin maximalist. Buterin's main points were that Ethereum worked. Yeah, you'll get in a couple seconds. Both in terms of consensus and development and building, despite the many faults and glitches that have been discovered lately. Buterin also defended Ethereum's decision to reverse the blockchain on one instance during the DAO hack, but not since. Without reading too deep into it, once again, like I said over here, lines are being formed very quickly. And now, if I can remember something that's very important at the end of all of this as well. So what is going on right now is that as Ethereum was seen as the potential new Bitcoin, that's the nicest way of kind of saying it, in 2016 and 17, the idea was that Ethereum was, you know, we could also transact in Ethereum, we could build on top of Ethereum, we could make smart contracts on Ethereum. Ethereum was already 3 times quicker, and this is when we had the talk as well about the updated systems on Ethereum that would allow us to reach new heights and new speeds of transactions. Since then, a lot of other coins have come out, and they are better, quicker, faster, stronger than Ethereum. And a lot of people have been attacking it from all sides. And it's kind of, not to say that it's unfair, I'd free market, blah, 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 I get it, got it good. But it's kind of like, it's coming from all sides, and now it's coming from people who used to, not to say, I don't know this guy, people who, Bitcoinists, who used to be very into Ethereum are now also attacking it. And one of the main things, it's kind of weird because everyone's kind of, they're like nitpicking. Some people might say they're being petty about the really simple things. People are now talking about things that happened about a year, two and a half years ago. The DAO fork pretty much came down to there was something called the DAO. It was hacked, and I think an enormous amount of Ethereum were hacked in the process. The creators of Ethereum decided to fork the Ethereum blockchain, which then left us with Ethereum and Ethereum Classic. And people are now talking about that this shouldn't have been done because Vitalik Buterin, even though Ethereum is meant to be decentralized, what we've seen in the past is that if there's like a new protocol or something is happening with the Ethereum network, Vitalik in some way would kind of raise his hand, and this is kind of what would end up going through with the protocol. I mean, it's kind of weird. That's not to say that Bitcoin isn't faulty either. Bitcoin has also had a lot of things. There have also been other forks that haven't been necessarily 100% approved by, I mean, you can never get 100% consensus on anything. And even talking about like bugs being found, like we just found that bug, what was it, like 3 months ago, where you could have potentially even printed more Bitcoin. There are going to be bugs inside of everything. These things are created by humans. Humans have faults. We are not perfect. It's just kind of weird. And part of this, I think, is going to completely disappear. And I think it's going to make a lot of people look very weird when Ethereum does eventually go back up, or when Ethereum does have their upgrades. A lot of people seem to be stepping on Ethereum's neck because I think they do see it as a threat. The same exact thing with XRP. If something doesn't legitimately bother you, you don't think about it. Like, are you, when you walk down the street, are you terrified of birds? Like, if an apple falls from a tree, like, do you create a blog talking about how many seeds that apple had, and you know, you can't stand and you want to wipe out all apples? No, like, it doesn't bother you. Like, you go on with your life. So I think, not to say that, whatever, the point is, I think that people understand that Ethereum could be a major platform. And before I forget it, because it just popped right back into my head, one of the reasons why I think there's such a huge backlash against Ethereum right now, people are slowly starting to realize exactly just how big Ethereum is and how big Ethereum is going to be. On the side of the, what's it called, the Enterprise Ethereum Alliance, they're growing rapidly. And these are a bunch of countries. Yeah, as well, yeah. Countries and companies who have pledged their slight allegiance to building on top of the Ethereum platform. On top of this as well, there was something that I also didn't know about. Remember when we had the situation where Coinbase was adding all these coins, and we're like, oh, that's cool, they're adding new coins. And then they kept on adding ERC20 tokens. And remember about a year ago when I said I thought it was kind of weird that Coinbase wasn't adding XRP even though the CEO of Ripple, Brad Garlinghouse, went on national television and told them to add it. And I was like, that's kind of weird. You know, he wouldn't go out of his way to tell them that they should just own, or rather that they should add XRP to their platform, especially if he's trying to push an unregistered security. Turns out, the reason Coinbase has been adding so many ERC-20 tokens is that apparently they have a larger stake in Ethereum. This is just what I heard in a podcast. Apparently, they have a larger stake in Ethereum than they actually do in Bitcoin, and they are betting that Ethereum is going to become the number one coin. They have their money behind it, and as such, because they do have so much more of a stake in Ethereum, they have integrated it into their systems, and this is why it's easier for them to simply add the ERC-20 tokens to their platform as opposed to other coins. Crazy, right? Yep. If I can remember the name of that podcast, I'll definitely tell you. It was something like Bitcoin last week, or what Bitcoin did. Something with Bitcoin. I know one of them, and I'll try and tell you exactly which one, because there's another one that has Bitcoin in its name. And I told you guys before, I realized it's a Bitcoin Cash podcast, and they got me halfway through it, and I realized until someone slipped and they said the name Bitcoin Cash. Anyway, yeah. So the idea is that my opinion, Ethereum's not going anywhere anytime soon. And I feel really bad for him that he has to like defend his project like that. Everyone has faults. Everything has not been perfect in the cryptocurrency space. It's just kind of how things are. Anyway, let's move on. Really interesting about the Coinbase thing, though. Very, very interesting that they... and it's not even XRP. If you look at Coinbase's Twitter account and you look at the coins that people are telling them to add, they're like really, really popular, well-known coins. And then Coinbase is like, okay, we'll add more ERC-20 tokens. And the moment they add like three more, everyone's like, we didn't want those. And then they end up adding three more. Coinbase is just weird. Let's move on. Next up, people are already starting to discuss, and I'm going to breeze over this one. People are already starting to discuss Bitcoin's next reward being cut in half, which is happening in 2020. However, according to this article, the person who wrote this says, and it's actually quite interesting, he says, when in the past, what we've seen is that whenever Bitcoin was about to have its reward being cut in half, the year before is when people took into account that this was actually going to happen, and this is when prices eventually started to go up. So what we had is that people were talking about that we wouldn't see any price movement on Bitcoin from the reward being cut in half until 2021 after the event had happened. This person says, on the contrary, he has the exact like time somewhere around here. Don't know where they are. Blah, blah, blah. Can't find it. Of course I can't find it, because why would I be able to find it? Here we go. It says, after the 2012 Bitcoin halving, it took the market 2 months to start feeling the effects of the inflation halving and for Bitcoin to initiate a parabolic move that propelled the price from $12 to $142. Interestingly, after the 2016 halving, the market felt the inflation reduction effect even sooner. This time, Bitcoin started a rally that went from $582 in 2016 to $20,000 from just 1 month after the halving at this point into 2017. So, it says, with the third halving less than 18 months away, it's time to start paying attention to Bitcoin's killer application again. Algorithmically enforced monetary policy. The disruptive power of this monetary policy will get priced into 2019. He says it's somewhere around here that he thinks... I think around March or May, something with an M, of this year is when the market will start to move forward in anticipation for the other event actually happening. Very interesting. Like I said, I'm going to breeze over it. No one knows exactly what's going to happen. But logically, in the past before, we have seen that Bitcoin's price has reacted to the reward being cut in half. I think we're going from... Of course, I can never find these numbers. It's somewhere around here. Here we go. Miners are currently earning 12.5 Bitcoin per block, or 1,800 Bitcoin per day, and that'll soon be cut in half to 6.25 Bitcoin per block. That is an extremely low amount, especially when you consider that eventually that'll also become 3.725, I think, or something like that. Interesting times ahead. Let's move on. Also going to breeze over this one. There's apparently... There seems to be a move against Patreon simply because they are cutting out people's profiles, and they've been too censorship heavy. We've seen this across multiple profiles. I mean, I understand and I get the argument against them. It's kind of the same exact arguments against Twitter, against Facebook, against MySpace. I don't think anybody uses MySpace. It's the same as I think with Instagram as well. We have a situation right now where we have so many platforms that people are using on a daily basis that are centralized, if you want to use that word, that can kind of control what is happening, who's happening, what gets posted and what does not get posted. And I feel like, so one, someone is trying to create something. Where does it says a U.S. attorney and developer have vowed to release an alternative to crowdfunding platform Patreon using open source Bitcoin payment processor known as BTC Pay. So I think they're trying to make like a Bitcoin Patreon. In my opinion, in cryptocurrencies, there's so much talk about stuff, but nothing ever really ends up happening. Or when it does end up happening, it kind of goes splat. That's not to say that this is going to go splat. But I've definitely noticed that so many people in the cryptocurrency space keep talking about how censorship heavy many things are in the normal world, and that they're going to create something that'll kind of be built on blockchain and kind of separate us from these other things, but they never end up taking off. I mean, it would be great to kind of have something like this, but let's see if it actually ends up happening. Just kind of my opinion. I saw it floating around and I was like, okay, I'd rather have it launched and then people start using it as opposed to talking about it and then taking a while. I clicked on the link as well for Libra Patreon, and it's not even like done, but that's, I mean, whatever, let's move on. Whatever. Swinging over this one as well, for those who have been living under a rock or don't have a child, there's a video game called Fortnite. I have not played it, but apparently they are now accepting Monero for their merchandise on their website. Where is the most important part? Here's, apparently they have like hamburger shirts. It says, after further digging, Spagny determined, this is someone who figured out that they were actually accepting Monero, determined that Monero payments were routed through Globee, a global crypto-friendly payment processor that currently accepts Bitcoin, Litecoin, Dogecoin, Decred, Ethereum, XRP, and the aforementioned privacy asset. Interestingly, with this integration, the payment processor limited cryptocurrency transactions only to Monero. When this news broke, a number of crypto enthusiasts took to social media to express their excitement. As integration into the facet of Fortnite, game that attracts some, blah, blah, blah. Fortnite is popular. I've been hearing about this thing for months now. It's kind of driving me insane. What's interesting is that they are using a payment processor that actually accepts multiple other major cryptocurrencies, but they themselves are only accepting Monero on their platform. I can only assume maybe there's a Monero worker on their team. Don't actually know what's happening. It's kind of weird that they would only accept one cryptocurrency. It has to be that they're part of the Monero team. Because for crypto adoption, can you imagine if they had just even announced Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Ethereum as their coins on Fortnite? How much of a uptick we would have seen. Anyway, the point is, Fortnite now accepts this. It's like the most popular game in the entire world, apparently, and they're only accepting Monero, which is kind of weird, but I mean, rather a crypto than no crypto at all. Next up, I guess kind of to finish things off altogether, for those who are unaware at the time of you waking up and or watching this video, Ethereum has once again passed by XRP on the crypto prices. When you read around, I think people are very great at making up stories. I think that's the greatest way of saying it. Not to say that this particular website is making up stories, but you'll read through articles and they talk about how much like the bear has gripped this and how much the bull is taking charge and how much this bull was riding through a field of flowers and did this with Ethereum and they had it happily ever after. It comes down to the fact that Constantinople is very, very close. It's believed that we're going to have Ethereum's next hard fork called Constantinople at the middle of this month. At the moment, that is 2 weeks away. What's going to happen when we actually do have Constantinople laid on top of Ethereum is that the mining reward, the amount of Ethereum that are produced, is going to fall from 3 per block to 2, which means that the reduction of the amount of Ethereum that's going to be pushed into the world is going to be decreased by, what is that, 33% or something like that? And on top of that as well, when we finally do have Constantinople, it'll also be able to, it's like laying dirt down so that other things can grow on top of it, because this will be the basis for us being able to have Casper and Plasma and all the other things that we should also potentially have in 2019. So when you talk about an uptick in price, I mean, if XRP had announced that they were having another hard fork, or I don't think they've had a hard fork, if they were having an upgrade that would allow them to reduce the amount of this and so on, so we'd also see an uptick in price. But however, Ethereum is up by 7%. You can kind of guess why when you figure out that there's going to be less Ethereum printed in the world. Kind of a huge indication of where the price is potentially going to go. I think it's, I mean, I'm neither here nor there at this point. I told you guys in 2018, I own pieces of Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, not Bitcoin Cash, EOS, some Stellar. For me, it's just like a put up or shut up type moment. I would be completely happy, and I'll tell you in all honesty, with EOS, XRP, or Ethereum becoming the number one coin, or even Bitcoin just staying there. It doesn't really matter to me. At the end of the day, to put it the most logically honest way, I am in it for the money. And when they all... It is snowing. Sorry. it's really heavy now. When these coins do go up, I still profit either way. Kind of the nicest way of saying it. So I don't really mind the flipping or the flopping. I really don't care. It's just a matter of as long as they go up, we all benefit. But Ethereum is looking like... This is why I feel bad for Vitalik. I feel like Ethereum is going to have a great year either way. When we finally have confirmation that Constantinople has been activated, I'm expecting a small uptick as well. And when we get proper news, because he hinted that 2019 is probably the year that we're going to see the hybrid of proof of stake and proof of work. When we finally get confirmation that that's actually going to happen and we have like a block number where that's going to happen, I expect Ethereum to perform very well. Anyway, I think that is definitely going to do it for this video. Hope you all enjoyed. Hope you all are having a great day, a great morning, a great afternoon, a great evening, wherever you are, wherever you might be. I hope it's absolutely fantastic. Thank you once again all for watching and or listening. I do appreciate all of your support. Yeah, you know, I'm terrible at ending videos. So yeah, I'll talk to you all soon. See you.